الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد we praise Allah عز وجل and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In discussing the Aqid al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, we went over a number of topics and discussions. And in our last session, we discussed that the people will rise barefooted. Did we discuss that?
Yes.
Naked and uncircumcised. Did we speak about the sun coming close to the people? Not yet. According to you, what is the last thing we discussed, Ya Sheikh? الأمر الثالث ما يكون في القيامة نعم وما أشار إليه بقوله وتدنو منهم شمس right where I'm at. طيب. The third matter concerning that which will happen on the day of resurrection. ثالث. You're in the أمر الثاني. We didn't do ثاني. Beautiful. So we did the الأول. Okay, الأمر الثاني مما يكون في يوم القيامة مما يكون في القيامة. The second matter which will happen in the day of resurrection. ما أشار إليه بقوله فيقوم الناس من قبورهم لرب العالمين حفاة عراة غرلا. ليه؟ طيب. The statement of Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So the people will rise from their graves to the Lord of everything حفاة عراة غرلا. Barefooted, naked and uncircumcised. قوله من قبور ماذا بناء على الأغلب وإلا فقد يكون اللسان غير مدفون. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam, they will rise from their graves, is based on the predominant condition, the most likely condition, which is that they will come from the graves. Otherwise they will be people who were never buried. People like we said who were eaten by predatory animals and what have you, people that were burned to ashes and thrown in the ocean. But predominantly most human beings are buried. So it doesn't matter, both will rise. قوله لرب العالمين يعني لأن الله عز وجل يناديهم. They will rise for Allah. Lam means, is one of the prepositions in the in the Arabic language. Who has the prepositions حروف الجر memorized?
إله.
ها؟
إله.
He said إله.
على.
من إلى في على. عن.
عن.
Yes.
عين نون.
عين نون. Is there another عن؟
أمام ضرار.
عن.
أمام ضرار.
لا 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 هذه حروف ظرف 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 مكان وظرف زمان. نتكلم عن حروف الجر, هي تسع حروف الجر. عليكم السلام, اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. هي تسع, افغاني تدي ما شاء الله تسعة. من الباء بي ورزس انجلش يا شيخ لي. That's like him. الباء واللام. Come on guys, what is B and لي؟ الباء واللام والكاف وربا. من إلى عن. من إلى في. من إلى في على عن ربا. ربا. ربا means perhaps. ربا تلميذ فاق أستاذة. Perhaps his student will exceed his teacher.
را
با شد ان ضم ربا. اي من الى عن على
الف نون عن
عن
عين
عين عن ان عن في ربا بن الباء واللام والكاف.
كاف. كاف.
How many? كاف يا أخي. أحمد كربيع.
ثمانية.
واضرب لهم مثل حياة الدنيا كماء. أنزلناه من السماء كماء in, like water, like. So the كاف make it ماء in, ends with a كسرة. خلاص إذا nine.
من إلى عن على في رب
اللام والكاف والباء. خلاص
ظرف
نعم. These are called prepositions أو حروف الجر. Of course when they come before a noun it ends with a كسرة unless it or تنوين. It could end with تنوين double كسرة unless it begins with ألف لام, then it's only a كسرة. There are exceptions to the rule, like people's like proper nouns أسماء العلم. Some words don't take كسرة, like, or some other rules complicated, like جهنم. You can never say في جهنمي, it's always في جهنمة. Why? Because جهنم is a word in Arabic that is ممنوع من الصرف, or it doesn't accept being in the state of جر. Not necessarily because ممنوع الصرف. There's تفصيل, and if you go back to the grammar books, it's very complicated. I'm not going to turn it to an Arabic class, even though you guys try to drag me there. طيب, no issues. إذن لرب العالمين, for لرب العالمين. Okay, because Allah will call them. Allah will call them to come out. قال تعالى, قال الله تعالى واستمع يوم ينادي المنادي من مكان قريب. And listen on the day where the caller will call from a place which is near. Now notice من مكان. Here's with تنوين مكان حرف جر اسم مجرور. يوم يسمعون الصيحة بالحق, the day where they will hear the call in truth. ذلك يوم الخروج, this is the day of going out, of leaving, of coming, of returning, of إلى آخره, resurrecting, خروج من القبور. فيقومون لهذا النداء العظيم من قبورهم لربهم عز وجل. So they will rise due to this great call from their graves to their Lord عز وجل. قال الله تبارك وتعالى ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. Do they not think that they will be resurrected on a great day, to a great day, the day on which the people will rise for the Lord of everything. سورة المطففين آيات 4 to 6. قوله حفاة عراة غرلا ليس عليهم حفاة. We said barefooted. They don't have. ليس عليهم نعال ولا خفاف. ليس عليهم نعال, shoes, sandals, whatever. خفاف. What is خفاف? The plural of خف. خفين. The leather socks. They are the leather socks. جوارب is the socks, regular socks. خف is the leather socks, the leather sock particularly. That's the difference between جوارب أو جاربين أو إلى آخره من الألفاظ and الخف أو الخفان. المسح على الخفين. You probably hear this often. Wiping over the leather socks. This is from the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني this is something known. The Shia don't believe in it. يعني أنه ليس عليهم لباس للرج. Bottom line is that they're not wearing anything on their foot. So whether it's socks or leather socks or shoes or sandals, whatever, they will be حفات, barefooted, nothing on their foot. عراتا ليس عليهم لباس للجسد. They will be naked. There will be no clothing over their bodies. Absolutely no clothing. No underwear. Nothing. Total. As they say, bare naked. غرلا, it's with the sukun of the ra. لم ينقص من خلقهم شيء, meaning nothing of their creation has been changed, has been taken away. They're in the complete form of their initial creation. والغرل جمع أغرل, and غرل is the plural of أغرل. The singular is أغرل. وهو الذي لم يختن is the one who has not been circumcised. The one who has not been circumcised. أي أن القلفة التي قطعت منه في الدنيا تعود يوم القيامة. Meaning that foreskin, that foreskin which was which was, you know, circumcised and taken away in the dunya, it will be returned to him on the day of resurrection. لأن الله يقول كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده, because Allah said, or Allah says, the way we started the first creation, we will return it, we'll bring it back to that same condition. فَيُعَادُ كَامِلًا, he will be returned in perfect condition. لَمْ يَنْقُصْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ, nothing will be taken away, nothing will be omitted, nothing will be lost, nothing will be missing. يَعُدُونَ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَصْفِ مُقْتَلِطِينَ رِجَالًا وَنِسَاءً, and they will return to that condition mixed, men and women, there will be no segregation. ولما حدث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بذلك قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها, now when Prophet ﷺ spoke about that to Aisha, she رضي الله عنها said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, الرجال والنساء ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض, men and women, they will look at each other. Nowadays, if you were driving the street and you saw a naked woman or even a naked man, you're about to look. You have to look. Now, if you fear Allah, after that first look, you will look away. But the initial thing, it's shocking. And you drive it and you see, your mind will automatically turn your head. Because you're, did I see a naked person just walk by? And this is assuming is of the same gender, let alone a female. I mean, human beings have that natural tendency to look at each other, in this sense. So Aisha was understanding it according to the principles of the dunya. That men, women, everybody is naked, they may look at each other. Naturally this may happen. قَالَ فَقَالَ الْأَمْرُ أَشَدُّ مِنْ أَنْ يُهِمَّهُمْ ذَلِكَ, the matter is way more severe that they should even pay attention or that will be of any concern to them. Yani the atmosphere of that day is so severe that no one would even bother to look at many naked women around him. Too busy with finding salvation for oneself. That even these naked women would be of no interest for this man and vice versa. Subhanallah. وفي رواية من أن ينظر بعضه إلى بعض, in another رواية of the hadith, that they will be too over concerned about themselves for them to look at one another. The situation is way more severe or severer than severer that they would look at one another. فكل إنسان له شأن يغنيه, you heard that one before. يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. On the day where a person will run away from his brother, from his mother and his father, from his wife and his children, for every one of them, there's a sha'nun, a matter, yughni, which make him unconcerned about everyone else. He will be, you know, self-sufficient. In a sense that he's not concerned about anyone else, he's only sufficed with being concerned about himself or herself. لا رجل ينظر إلى امرأة ولا امرأة تنظر إلى رجل. No man will look at a woman and no woman will look at a man. حتى إن ابنه أو أباه يفر منه أو يفر منه. Even his own son or a father will run away from him, that person. خوفا من أن يطالبه بحقوق الله, afraid that he may ask him for some rights he had over him. So the son may say to the father, you know, how did you raise me? You're responsible for my misguidance. And the father doesn't want to deal with it now. Then, I'm sorry. Because now he's responsible. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته, الرجل راع في بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته. The man is in charge, he's the shepherd of the house and he's responsible for his flock, for those under him. So if they don't fulfill these obligations now, then the children will come and ask for their rights on the day of judgment and vice versa. The father will ask of his right from his son, which he did not fulfill. So nobody wants to see or deal with anyone because they want to get away. Escape. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعِ, and if this is the fact, if this is a fact, if this is the rule, the truth, or the real thing, فإنه لا يمكن أن تنظر المرأة إلى الرجل ولا الرجل إلى المرأة الأمر أشد وأعظم. So then really no way there will be a woman who would look at a man or a man who would look at a woman. The matter is way severer and greater than that. ولكن مع ذلك يكسون بعد هذا. Yet with that said, they will be clothed. They will be dressed afterwards. وأول من يكسى إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام كما ثبت ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the first one to be dressed will be Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, as it has been confirmed, authentically confirmed by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some of the ulama, I don't know if it's part of the hadith or it's the actual commentary on the hadith, but Ibrahim will be the first one to be clothed, because when he عليه الصلاة والسلام was thrown into the fire, which didn't burn his body, it did burn his clothes and the ropes which were around him. Right? Allah said to the fire, كوني بردن وسلاما على إبراهيم. Be بردن, be cool. سلاماً, peaceful. So it didn't burn him. But because his clothes were taken away in that situation, then he would be honored on يوم القيامة by being the first to be dressed. It's the justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla with his creation. الأمر الثالث مما يكون يوم القيامة. Now we go to the third matter, which will be on the day of resurrection. ما أشار إليه بقوله وتدنو منهم الشمس. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the sun will be brought near. The sun will be brought near to them. It will come close to them. Dunu. Dunu is nearness. Nearness. And this is why it's called dunya. Dunya, the scholars of the linguists say it's derived from two words. Both of them are silly in this sense. Dunu, meaning nearness, because it's near, as in it's short, it's temporary, and the life to come is the one that is eternal. Yawm al-akhir. This is the dunya, it's near. You get to enjoy it now. And dana'a, lowliness. Someone is dani, someone is lowly, of low character. Someone who's, you know, degraded and looked down upon. So dunya actually comes from two words. Both of them are, you know, negative, have negative connotation. None of them is praiseworthy. But not to the Christians. The lying Christians in their Bible, they have in John chapter 3 verse 16, the fabricated verse which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so whosoever shall believe in Him will have eternal life," and blah, "he will not perish, but will have eternal life." One of their biggest lies, and one of the worst verses that one can quote, you know, among the Christians, because this is the single verse which has led billions of people astray. That claims that Allah begot a son, and that He gave him in sacrifice, that whoever believes that Jesus was killed for the expiation of the children of Adam, he will go to paradise. This is one of the biggest fallacies in this world. All of them, all of these false concepts are combined and squeezed into a single verse which the Christians love to quote. But anyways, how does it begin? For God so loved the world. That Allah loves the world so much. But we know from the hadith in the Quran that Allah doesn't like the world at all. In fact, if this world was worth the wing of a mosquito to Allah, He wouldn't let the kafir drink a sip of water. If this whole dunya was worth the wing of a mosquito, Allah will not allow the kafir to drink a sip of water. This is from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And I've delivered a lecture called "The Wing of a Mosquito," speaking about the dunya and the you know, the unimportance of the dunya and what have you. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالَ اللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ. تدنو أي تقرب منهم شمس وتقرب منهم مقدار ميل. تقرب منهم, تدنو meaning it will be brought near to them, and it will come close to them the distance of a ميل or mile in English. وهذا الميل سواء كان المسافة أو ميل المكحلة فإنها قريبة. Now this mile, in the Arabic language, ميل can be one of two things. Either the mile, which we know now, I don't know how many kilometers it's equivalent to, but it's not too far from a kilometer.
1.6.
Yeah, there's some, you know, they're not too far from each other. And the meal, which is that tip of the stick which you dip in the kuhl, which one puts on one's eyes, from the sunnah. Nowadays women are the ones who use it, you know, to make them, you know, their eyebrows, not their eyebrows, their eyelashes all long. But anyway, see that little thing? That's it. That's the meal in the language as well. So whether it is that 1.6 kilometers or it is that distance, really at the end of the day, it's going to be quite close. It's going to be quite close. وإن كان وإذا كانت هذه حرارتها في الدنيا وبيننا وبينها من البعد شيء عظيم فكيف إذا كانت عن الرؤوس بمقدار ميل. He said, رحمه الله, شيخ ابن عثيمين, if this is now today you experience the heat and the heat of the sun, even though there's the distance between us and the sun is humongous, huge distance. No, I don't know how many millions of light years they say, or something really, really far. So then, how would it be then when it's right over the heads, when it's far from the head, the distance from the heads of the people, from the people that is, the distance of a mile, whether it is the first mile or the second mile, it doesn't matter. If now we can, you know, if it's a little hot, people can't live without the AC, and we complain, we make a big deal about it and all this stuff, you know. And we're just so pampered nowadays and so spoiled that we can't even sit in a room that doesn't have air conditioning. We can't drive a car that doesn't have air conditioning, and the list goes on. Well then, forget about all that. It's going to be very close. قَدْ يَقُولُ قَائِلٌ. However, a person may say, الْمَعْرُوفُ لَنَا أَنَّ الشَّمْسَ لَوْ تَدْنُو بِمِقْدَارِ شَعْرَةٍ عَنْ مُسْتَوَى خَطِّهَا لَأَحْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضِ. We know that now if the sun were to come close a hair length, a hair, the length of a hair, closer to the earth, it would burn it up. Scientists say right now, really, the sun is at such a precise distance that if it were a little bit closer, and we're talking about very small, insignificant distance, that the earth will burn. If it was a little further, we will freeze. Yani Allah has placed the sun at such a distance where it's exactly perfect for human survival and plant survival and what have you. Otherwise, a little closer, we can't take it. The temperature will go to 50, 60, whatever, 70, people will die. The plants will die. The animals will die. If it was a little further, we'll have such cold, there's no source of heat, then we will also freeze. So it's all precise, precision. The precision of Allah's creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So someone will say, فَكَيْفَ يُمْكِنْ أَن تَكُمْ بِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمْ بِهَذَا الْمَقْضَارِ مِنَ الْبُعْدِ ثُمَّ لَا تُحَرِكَ الْخَلْقِ. So someone will say philosophically, how is it then it will be so close to the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but it will not burn? It will not burn them up. No, they will not die. So who can answer that without reading the book?
Unseen.
Thank you, sir. Be more particular, Ya Muhammad, in your choice of words. And the unseen is that too general. The correct answer is, don't compare the affairs of this world to the affairs of the life to come. Nothing is the same. Even in Jannah, a man will be given, according to some of the narrations, which require verification of authentication, a man will be given the power of 100 men. And he will have a few hur'een, minimum two. Each one will have minimum two. And according to some of the other narrations, every time he has relations with her, wherein she is de-virginized, she will become a virgin again. So every time is like the first time. That doesn't happen in the dunya. Usually when a woman gets old, the man looks for a younger wife, a younger second wife, lost interest. But in the affairs of the life to come, it's not the same. Even the things which were mentioned, you know, فَاكِهَةٌ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, and all the description of the things in Jannah, the فَوَاكِهِ and the rivers, أَنْهَارٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. All these, you know, you think of it, it's not the local river you see down the street, nor is it the apple that you get from Danube or Pandanon, or it's going to be something totally different. Though, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the only common thing between them is the name. The only commonality between them is the name. We call this fakia, fruit, and that is called fruit. But the essence, beyond imagination. So don't compare what you see today in this world to the life to come. Because each has its own set of you know, laws, physics, physical laws. They're not the same. طيب فالجواب على ذلك أن الناس يحشرون يوم القيامة ليسوا على القوة التي هم عليها الآن بل هم أقوى وأعظم وأشد تحملا. The answer is people will be gathered on the day of resurrection not upon or not with the same power and strength that they have today. Rather, they will be more, they will be stronger, and they will be greater, and they will have more ability to bear. To bear, you know, hardship and difficulty and calamities. They'll be have more endurance. Let's say use the word endurance. They'll be able to endure more than they can do in this dunya. ولو أن الناس الآن وقفوا 50 يوما في شمس لا ظل ولا أكل ولا شرب فلا يمكنهم ذلك بل يموتون. If the people were to stand today for 50 days, not 50,000 years, under the sun, with no shade, no food and no drink, they will not be able to do so, they will die. لكن يوم القيامة يبقون 50,000 سنة. On the day of resurrection, they will remain for 50,000 years. لا أكل ولا شرب ولا ظل. No food, no drink, no shade. إلا من أظله الله عز وجل. Except the one whom Allah provides shade for under His throne, as it comes in some of the narrations. ومع ذلك يشاهدون أهوالا عظيمة فيتحملون. With that, they will see you know, tremendous events, and they will be able to bear them. Who remembers who the seven are? Who are the seven that will be under the shade of Allah? The hadith in Bukhari, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. إِمَامٌ عَادِلٌ, a just ruler. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, a young man who was raised upon obedience to Allah. He never went left or right. Maybe some of us are disqualified from the first two, or at least the second. You can be a just ruler in your house with your children and people around you. If you're in charge of people and you treat them with justice, you get that qualification. Thirdly, رَجُلَانِ أَوْ رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. This one all of us can get. SubhanAllah, that's the easiest one. Perhaps one of the easiest ones. You live in a place where masajid are on every block, there are 3-4. All you see is minarat. And all you have to do is be there, you know, at salah, for every salah, early. You know, you catch the sunan, you get to pray in the first row, you're behind the imam. This is available and feasible for everyone. You do this and you get that qualification. Keep your heart attached in the masjid. And رَجُلَانِ تَحَبَّى فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, two people who love each other for the sake of Allah, they meet upon that and they separate upon that. So any kind of you know, mutual brotherly love. And how do you know whether the love is for the sake of Allah or for the sake of the dunya? You know that if you had someone and there's absolutely nothing that you gain from them worldly, nothing worldly that you gain from them, or someone which you have a relationship with and there's some worldly gain between you, and as soon as something in the business goes bad, you no longer his friend. You stop speaking to him. This was never for Allah. It was for the fulus. And once you had some disagreement on some business points or whatever, then this became your enemy. This was never for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah is that you love for him, even if you had some differences in work and you know, jobs, whatever, that doesn't ruin that. You stop doing business with him, but he remains a brother of yours. You still love him for the sake of Allah. So it's a love where there's no worldly gain involved. You don't benefit from this person in any way, shape or form, yet you love them. Alhamdulillah. Fifthly, رَجُلٌ No, there's no orphans in it. I'm about to. You have them. If you have, I asked you in the beginning, no one gave me an answer. Now I'm giving you. Now everybody got the answers. Choose, either you or I. You give me the whole seven or I give you the whole seven? Khalas, I gave you five to continue. Rajulun, first, Rajulun da'atu mra'a ذَاتُ حُسْنٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A man who is invited by a beautiful woman of a high status, she's, you know, a special woman, we may say, invited him to commit illegal sexual intercourse with her, and he said, I fear Allah. He ran away like Yusuf alayhi salam. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ, close to what you wanted, فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. A man who gave charity in such a secretive manner that his left hand does not know what his right hand spent. Now mind you, these here is speaking about a person who does this once. Yani the mercy of Allah is so vast that if you do this once and there are no other reasons which will prevent you from the qualification, you qualify to be under the shade of Allah for once giving sadaqah for the sake of Allah in such a secretive way that you don't want anyone to praise you for it. Or if once you were invited by a woman, or anyone you love for the sake of Allah. And the last one, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ خَالِيًا فَضَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ. A man who remembered Allah alone, and so he cried, whether out of love of Allah, fear of Allah, or what have you. You do this once, and you are qualified. Now, after we are qualified, nothing else which may prevent the effectiveness of this promise. If nothing else exists, then we will get it. But there may be some other things which prevent it. Shirk. Other issues, which I've said before, bring the curse of Allah. Now we may get these, and we may get something that will render them void. We had the qualification, and we played around with some other things which brought us the promise of the fire. Now we're being promised the shade of Allah here, and we're being promised the fire over there. To get this, you need to do this once, along with not having anything else which will prevent that effectiveness of the promise. Many things, and we have hundreds of things, and we can go from the beard to the pants, on and off, and we can discuss many things which will bring the curse of Allah. As I've mentioned many times over and over again, right? Why am I saying this again? Because we tend to take them lightly, and they're not light, because associated with them are narrations which warn us of the fire. So no, yani we don't look at, for example, the beard. Shaving the beard, you can't look at it as this is only one violation I'm committing. Because it is not one violation you're committing. You're committing at least 8 violations. Most of them will guarantee you Jahannam. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. First, you're disobeying Allah. Because Allah commanded us to have beards. And when Prophet ﷺ came across the convoys from Kisra, the king of the Persians, he saw that they had a mustache and no beard. Upon seeing them, now look, this is our Messenger alayhi salam, he detested looking at them. He was so repelled by their appearance that he didn't even want to look at their face. And he said, woe to you, you look so abhorrent with a big mustache and no beard. He said, woe to you, who commanded you to do this to yourself? Notice now, these are guests coming over, bringing some information from Kisra. And this could be the context of da'wah. He could have said, no, maybe I don't discuss this, I give him that. But the Prophet ﷺ was so repelled by that appearance, which is all over the Muslim world now, in the masajid, almost most people have it the other way around. No beard, long mustache. Woe to you, wayhakum. Who commanded you to do this to yourself? Meaning you look so silly, so bad. Who told you to do this to yourself? Who made you change the way Allah created you? They said, Rabbuna Kisra, our Lord Kisra. He said, well, my Lord commanded me to trim my mustache and keep my beard. Ajib, this was the first da'wah to them about keeping the beard. It wasn't about tawheed in that context. Not that we don't do tawheed first, but I'm telling you the first. Secondly, it is disobeying the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us in over 6 to 7 narrations, distinguish yourself from the kuffar. In some narrations, al-Yahud wal-Nasara. In other narrations, al-Majus. Different narrations mentioning different kuffar. Do not resemble them. Keep your beard, trim your mustache. Keep your beard, اعفو اللحى وفروا اللحى اطلقوا اللحى. All these wordings are used in different narrations commanding us to keep the beard. So when someone shaves it, they're disobeying the Messenger of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who disobey the Messenger beware that they will be afflicted with a trial. Imam Ibn Kathir said it's either bid'ah or kufr or shirk. That's the fitna. أو عذاب أليم, or a severe punishment for deliberately going against him. Specifically in one of the easiest acts of worship. Easiest acts of worship in the world is the beard. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Just leave it, it will come. Just don't play with it, it will grow. SubhanAllah. Still, we don't. Ajeeb, ajeeb. Thirdly, resembling women. That's not a good one. And a man who resembles a woman is cursed. Prophet ﷺ said, لعن الله. Allah curses المتشبهون من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات بالرجال من والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال والمتشبهات بالرجال من النساء. Allah curses the men who resemble women and the women who resemble men. That clean face, that clean shaved face of softness and tenderness is that of the ladies, not that of men. That brings the curse of Allah. Fourthly, going against the messengers of Allah and against the hadi of the righteous people. The righteous people from the time of Adam until the end of time, part of their qualities is the beard. That's until today they call him mutawwir. From ta'a, obedience. Ta'a, obedience, meaning he's obedient to Allah and his messenger. And even Harun said in the Quran, يَبْنَ لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي. When Musa came back and found that Bani Israel worshipping the calf, he became upset and he grabbed Harun. In the Quran, Harun said, oh son of my mother, do not grab me by my beard and my hair. Meaning he had a beard. Harun had a beard. Allah made it mention in the Quran for a reason. He could have said, just don't grab me. But that was mentioned for a reason. Fifthly, or is it sixthly? Resembling the kuffar, because this is their qualities, to fashion their faces and you know, change the, you know, the way they are. And Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever resembles a group of people, he's just one of them. And in some of the narrations, he will be resurrected with them. And he's taken away himself away from the body of the Muslims, and he will be in the company of the kuffar because of this. Seventhly, changing the creation of Allah. And one of the goals of shaitan from day one is that he will inspire us and whisper to us hatta, so we may change, يُغَيِّرْ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ حَتَّى, until he changes the creation of Allah. And so, you know, when you change the way Allah created you, naturally you have facial hair growing. Why? Did you ever wonder why Allah gave a woman a face that doesn't have hair growing and he gave us a face that has hair growing? Did you ever wonder why? Because Allah wants us to keep it. The hair which Allah doesn't want us to keep, He told us, armpit, pubic, whatever. Facial hair, told us to keep it, not to move it, not to leave it. Ninthly, it's a waste of time and waste of money. It's a waste of time because you spend a lot of time fixing it up, making sure the line at the neck is good, and making sure this is the people who take away some of their cheeks, and the ones who shave it all the way, they spend Allah knows how long at the barbershop, and this goes on. It's a lot of money. The razors are very expensive. And last but not least, these are 10, it's indirectly saying to Allah, you don't know what you're doing. And that's the most dangerous one from a logical point of view. It's as if you're telling Allah, you don't know, you know that having facial hair doesn't suit me. I don't like it, so I will remove it. Why? Why did you give me facial hair? You know I don't like it. You told me to keep it. I'm going to take it away. Which means that this is not good for me. Which means that Allah did not create you fi ahsani taqweem. You know ahsani taqweem. not having a beard. But Allah, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, and part of that taqweem was having facial hair. So the person, we may, not everyone who does it means that, but they're indirectly saying to Allah, you've obliged me to do something that I don't find, you know, practical or suitable for me. So what does that mean? Subhanallah. Allah is going to tell you to do something which is not good for you? Ultimately not. Now, why am I saying this? Don't look at it, well brother, big deal. You can have a beard, I don't have to have the beard. I do salah, you do salah. I do hajj, you do hajj. I give zakah, you give zakah. Now the beard, the whole thing, the whole deen is about the beard, and without the beard, I'm no good. With the beard, I'm good. No. Don't look at it this way, man. Look at the 10 violations you just engaged in with this act. The act itself may be simple. The consequences may be severe. And we can give the same discussion on the garment below the ankles, and the list goes on. The little things we do here and there are so, some of them are so destructive that they may turn and render these promises of Allah about being under the shade ineffective. So I don't think it's worth it, personally. And I think you agree with me that we miss out on this important blessing on such a severe day of 50,000 years, so I can look cute for wifey because she doesn't like a lot of facial hair. Or so the boss will not tell me, why are your pants above the ankles? You don't look very professional. Please make sure that you have longer pants. So to please her and please him and please the people and the fashion people and the style, I go against Allah and His Messenger to make the people happy. And then what do I get on the Day of Judgment? All these people run away from you. Your boss is going to say, listen man, these pants, I kept them like this for you. And he will say, I'm sorry, that's too bad for you. Now don't ask me for anything, لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. You go deal with it with Allah, I have nothing to do with you. So you know, these people we favor over Allah and His Messenger, we're making the wrong move. You know, stick to the deen, even if the people don't like it. And do what you know you're supposed to do, and don't stop doing it. Just keep it, it's simple, it's simplified, and it will benefit you one day, bi-idhnillah. طيب. وَاعْتَبِرْ بِأَهْلِ النَّارِ. Now the Shaykh said, take an example how people will be able to endure by elaborating or evaluating or taking a lesson from the people of the fire. كيف يتحملون هذا التحمل العظيم. How the people of the fire will be able to endure this, you know, these horrendous and horrible punishments. كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها. Allah says, every time their skin is roasted through, we will replace them with another skin. Yani the burning will continue to take place until there's nothing left, until the skin is roasted through. Yani even the cells which feel pain will be killed. And one of the Chinese scientists or doctors, he embraced Islam because of this. Because after spending many years studying, he came to realize that at certain degree of burning, you reach a point where the very cells which feel pain are burnt. And the person after a particular level of burning no longer feels the pain of burning. Because the cells which feel burning have been burned themselves. Right? So when he realized this, they told him what Allah had already said that in the Quran. Otherwise, it could be that the same skin will remain and it will continue to burn in it. No, Allah says we will replace him with new skin in order for them to taste the punishment again. This is one of their views. يعني والله أعلم على كل حال. وبأهل الجنة. And reflect on the affair of the people of Jannah. ينظر الإنسان إلى ملكه مسيرة ألف عام إلى أقصى. كما ينظر أدناه كما يروى ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And look and reflect upon the affairs of the people of Jannah. A person will look into his own private property, his own real estate, the distance of 1,000 years. Your property will be the distance of 1,000 years. How long is that? It's a long time. That's a lot of property, man. You can't buy it on earth. You can barely buy, you know, this much on earth, and you have to pay so much money. In Jannah, it's going to be readily available for the muttaqeen. Not for everyone, for the muttaqeen. Right? These individuals, inshallah, and everything, not just that, inwardly and outwardly. These people have, now, you will look at your property, the nearest, the farthest point will be before you, just like the nearest point. Your sight would be that you can see what you own 1,000 years away, the same way you see that which is right in front of you. You know, supervision. And they used to give it to Superman, right? Suppose the Superman would look at something for so long and some laser will come out of his eye or something. That's all Hollywood. This is real. A person would be given such qualities. فَإِنْ قِيلَ هَلْ أَحَدْ يَسْلَمْ مِنَ الشَّمْسِ If someone says, will anyone be saved from the sun? فَالْجَوَابْ نَعْمْ The answer is, yes. هُنَاكَ أُنَاسٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ There will be people who will be shaded by Allah's shade on the day where there is no shade, but his shade, the ones we discussed earlier. كَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِذَلِكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ And the Shaykh actually quoted the hadith. The same hadith, so I'm not going to repeat it. خلاص؟ وهناك أيضا أصناف أخرى يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله There will be other kinds of people who will be under the shade of Allah on the day where there is no shade under the shade. They are mentioned in other narrations. They are not actually restricted to these seven. There are more. There are other people.
وقوله لا ظل إلا ظله يعني إلا الظل الذي يخلقه وليس كما توهم البعض أنه ظل ذات الرب عز وجل
This particular statement is actually debatable, so I will deliberately skip it. Because the correct position is that, as the other narrations explain, it will be the dhil of the arsh. Yani they will be under the shade of Allah's throne, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Na'am, not that Allah will create a shade as the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned here. The fourth matter, or shall we not? No, we shall not. Inshallah, we will deal with it next week, bi-idhnillah, concerning the sweat and how they will be bridled with their sweat, and then we will deal with the weighing of the deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is quite a lengthy discussion because the ulama have differed extensively on the concept of the deeds being weighed on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Is it the deeds? Is it the people? Is it the books? What is it exactly that will be weighed? We will see that next week, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد